We want to deal with the fact that there are two roads, two systems that are going on right now, and it's in our country. It has been for a while, but what we're finding here, I'm seeing it more than ever, something that I haven't seen in the past, and it, in one sense, it alarms me, but in another sense, it excites me, because I realize when certain things happen, God's never going to be taken by surprise. And so we shouldn't be taken by surprise when certain things happen, when it looks like, as the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And sometimes we can look around and we can go, boy, it seems as though the foundations of what this nation was established on and for are being undermined and destroyed. You see, there are really just two tracks in society. There's the secular and there's the sacred. As a church, we're part of the sacred. You know, we believe in the Bible. We believe that God created all things. In fact, God created societies. There's the worldly way to lead a nation or lead a people, and there's a biblical way to lead a people. God always wants to be sovereign over a nation or over our lives, and He lead us in His ways. You see, ours is a biblical worldview, which with it comes stability, consistency, and truth. In 1776, the foundations of America, one nation under God, was established. And that's really what we're celebrating, and unfortunately, many, even in government, don't know what July 4th is all about, or they don't want to acknowledge the independence of the 13 colonies from British rule, which was tyrannical in their politics, and it was tyrannical in their religion. They were silencing anybody that would protest against the Church of England. Anyone that would translate the scriptures, anyone that would teach, you'd find that many martyrs took place back then. And so they came out of that and started a new world society, the United States of America. There is man-made kind of societies or man-centered societies, and those are sifting and shifting. They're secular worldview. And that's really, you find it is constantly inconsistent with what's good for the people. They're changing in their cultural norms. Oh, have we seen that in the last few years? The cultural norms have so sifted and shifted. And it promotes deception. There's so much deception, it seems like common sense is out the window, out the door. When you think that is so obvious, that is such common sense, and yet you find the narrative going against that, it's really kind of maddening. You know, when we were building the facility out, if you've been down in the gym, we're down in the gym today and having the potluck, just really a great time, tremendous turnout. We laid the foundation there in the gym, but the soil engineer, before we did that, he tested it one more time just to make sure. And he found, because it was so close to the gully, if you notice, you can barely walk around, you know, the building on the gully side. But he wanted to check it, and he found that there was a layer of debris that we were ready to put the foundation on. It was an old landfill, and there was wood, and there was trash in it. And so they had to excavate it about 30 feet out, 30 feet of all this debris to hit bedrock. And they put in what is called a deepened footings, where they put the soil and they compact it. And so it's a strong fill, compact soil. Otherwise, the foundation would shift and it would drift. It could very easily crack and break off a side of our building and collapse and go 75 feet down that gully and down that hill. And you know what happened in Florida in the seaside condos. My wife was reading me one of the reports, and one of the maintenance fellows said there was a foot to 2 feet of seawater in the underground parking at times, and then it would just disappear. It would seep into wherever. And so that's a sure sign that your soil and your foundation is eroding. And what happened? That whole thing collapsed, and they're still trying to dig out bodies, but now there's a hurricane that came, and so now they're in waiting, but a lot of people died because of that. But you see, a deepened footing, when you think about a building or you think about a society, you think about a home, is strong, it's stable, it won't fail. So it is with a civilization, so it is with a society. You can't build or lay a foundation that is faulty on junk science, made-up science, science that has a political agenda. You can't build a society or a foundation on fake facts or fake news. A lot of that is out there because there's a political agenda, a secular agenda, where they want to build a society on a secular agenda, or on false precepts, false concepts, which the secular, the liberal, the carnal mind embraces. I mean, we've seen that. We see it now being incorporated in our schools and in our society. I mean, all avenues of society. I mean, it was, a while back, creation evolution. You know, the science and evolution seems to win out in our school systems. Never that way. God created heaven and earth. He created everything. But no, now creationists, those are those that are non-intelligent. Those are just believe in something that is fantasy. But the evolutionary note theory, that's scientific, always changing. I just read an article, now it's changing again. Changing again, you can see it. The physicist Stephen Hawking, he said, the biggest question in the universe is what happened before the Big Bang? You see, the Big Bang is the evolutionary's beginning. And he goes on and says, the boundary condition of the universe is that it has no boundary. There is no time before time began, as time was always there. It was just different. What does that mean? Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. And so often these evolutionary scientists or these thinkers that are depart from God, they spin their wheels, and that's all they do, spin their wheels until the end of life. And then they face the true and living God that created all things. And that's sad. It's a sad situation for them. The BioLogos founder, Francis Collins, he's a medical doctor and director of the National Human Genome Research Institute and self-described Bible-believing Christian. And we've had people in our church that just ran after him, you know, and finally they ran out of the church because they ran after him, and I would not put any of his books or any of his beliefs, you know, in the church here. But he said, all living things are descended from a common ancestor is truly overwhelming. God had a plan to create creatures with whom he could have fellowship. God used the mechanism of evolution to achieve his goal. Really, evolution started from a bang, from the ooze of the earth, from an amoeba, and you have man, amoeba to man? Impossible. Common sense. A child will say, that's foolish. It is really foolish. And then you find this gender identification or gender dysphoria that you have. And some of these states in Delaware, this article was a little, you know, it's not super recent, but it's so true. They passed a rule that would allow the state students to choose their own race and gender without approval or knowledge of their parents. It's Regulation 225. You see, you get the children on board, and then you can change society, the next generation, or the generation after that with the children. Breitbart News said, Southern Medical Journal, they state that legalizing assisted suicide, personal assisted suicide, patient assisted suicide, they say when they legalize that, 6.3% increase in suicides. And in Hawaii, they enacted that just a couple years ago, and for that one out of two, there's one suicide every 2 days, or they said 180 suicides a year. One suicide every 2 days. So you think about that, because now they're saying, yeah, it's good. It's good to end your life if you're feeling depressed or down. You see, that's the worldview. That's the secular worldview. That's the liberal, democratic worldview. And unfortunately, some of our Republican leaders kind of go down that route, but it seems like every Democrat leader goes down that route. But it's a bad route to go down. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, in the last days, difficult or perilous times will come. 2 Timothy 3:1. Difficult, and the Greek is reduced to strength. In other words, our strength is reduced. I think in the last year and a half, people's strength has been radically reduced. We've heard it, we've seen it. Hopefully not for you. I think sometimes when the world puts this on us, we get stronger. We get stronger in our faith. We look up because we know God's in charge. And when that difficult or reduced in strength, it means weak and susceptible to the current trends. So what they want to put on the people they're willing to abide by, the mask mandate. Get our science on mask. You find it does more harm than good. You're not catching COVID because you don't wear a mask. You need to look at this. You're really ruining your immune system by doing so. And so we try to come out with the alternate information so that you can make a decision for yourself. If you wear a mask, that's fine. That's fine. I don't wear masks. I like to breathe the fresh air that God gave us. I see people driving in a car with their windows down with mask on. I want to go, hey, what's wrong with you? Mask off. Or give them a... You see, when you have that mask on, you're getting less oxygen in your blood and you're getting more carbon dioxide in your blood because that's what you're breathing out. And you're getting pathogens inside of you. You're getting germs and bacteria and stuff back into your body. It's lowering your immune system. You see, I mean, that's what these scientists say. So you need to look at the other side of that. But people are weak. They're susceptible to whatever the government or whatever this, you know, new system that they want to set up in the United States of America and abandon the system that we have and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Well, when he talks about difficult, notice times, the word there is opportunity wide open. That's the idea. The Greek has that part to it. The opportunity is wide open. For what? Well, for the God of this world. That's for what? The God of this world putting into place his agenda. I believe that's what's happening. I've never seen it happen so fast, so quickly, than just in this last, you know, number of months, 6 months. And the Bible tells us that men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, extremely self-centered and egotistical in the last days, in the place of God. And that's the secular society. That's the new world order that these oligarchies, that these people want to set up that are in government right now. I think it was a stolen election myself. I don't know. I mean, there's enough evidence. And we'll see with the Maricopa, Arizona audit that's come out that was pristine, that Department of Justice, Biden and all the rest, they wanted to shut it down. We don't want to show you the facts. You see, but Bible people are into facts. We're into facts. And that's the way the society, what happened in 1776 is now trying to be replaced by something else, something that I think is wicked. You see, world conditions like this take its greatest toll on the impressionable young people. That's who they go after. You as an older thinking person, you don't have to even be older. You just have to be a young thinking person that looks at the other side of, you know, what people are telling you. You know, I would say that you need to maybe doubt what I'm saying. You go research it on your own. But definitely doubt what the news media and what the government is telling you. Go search it out on your own. You see, young people, they have a crucial learning curve. They learn different things at different stages in their life. Up to 5 years old, it's physical, intellectual, it's social, it's emotional. That's being formed. Why is the government having these radical transgenders reading stories to little kids like that? They're so perverse. Why would parents bring their kids to that? But you see, that's the way the society is going. It's moving that way. So impressionable at that age. But then from 6 through teen years, the logical thinking, the task orientation, the self-sufficiency, the independence, the plans for future, the skill level, the relationships, and the peer pressure take shape. This is where Christianity and the biblical worldview has its greatest impact. So very important. Teach your children well, you know, you who are parents, and we in church and in Christian schools and in our youth groups and stuff. Teach them well because we have the greatest impact when they're that age. Very difficult when you get older and set in your ways. Very difficult to break them out of their ways, but, you know, the Lord can. He broke me out at 27, you know, when I came to the Lord. There have always been difficult days, but with the social media addiction as a way of life for kids, it is the worst that is imaginable. It's really new challenges that face our society and face parenting as kids are constantly on their devices, constantly. That's how they communicate. That's how they relate. Oh, there are positive things. I don't want to put it down completely. You know, I use the internet, but there are some positive things, but many negatives as well. Kids get cyber bullied. Some kids have committed suicide because of that. Posting sexual exploits. They do. They have a sexual exploit, and they like to film it and post it. Brutal attacks on innocent people. You've seen that? The knockout game, I mean, that was a little while ago, but I just saw recently, you know, some guy walking along and this elderly lady in her 70s, and he just whack, and she went down. Oh, I wish I was there. I would take off my pastor, and I wish I was there. Oh, I don't stand for that kind of thing. Not at all. I go Old Testament David on them. Lord, break their teeth in their mouth, but that's just me. Bill, I thought you were more gentle and kind. Well, gender dysphoria, how awful is that? Guys parading naked in girls' locker rooms and showers, and that's okay? Are you brain dead, you educators, you parents? Are you absolutely brain dead in doing that? And really, just because you feel a certain way, that's not your gender. I think probably we need to show our kids more like Ben Shapiro. He just did a whole thing on this gender dysphoria. Really, really good. I mean, he's just right there. He's Jewish. He's not necessarily a Christian, but he's just a thinker, a mind. You see, we need to get this stuff to kids' minds because they're looking at the other stuff. And anarchy? Can you believe the anarchy that's going around in our nation. And what they're talking about, that with Trump and his people in Washington, they tried to take over the Capitol. It was a coup, they said. Here, those that created the coup now are blaming others that they're creating a coup. But this anarchy, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, the anarchy that's going on in some of the cities, and nothing is done. What's wrong with our Justice Department? What's wrong with prosecuting those that pull down statues? Statues that have been up hundreds of years. Can you imagine if a group of people came to Waikiki and started pulling down Duke Hanamoku statue or King Kamehameha statue? Let's pull it down. How far do you think you would get? Not too far. I don't know if the police would do anything. It doesn't seem like they are doing it in other states. But I'll tell you, the boys in Waikiki, you would not allow that. Locals aren't going to allow that. I would not allow that. You don't do that. You don't violate the law and get away with it. But you see, that's the way our society's going, and it seems like that's okay. That's okay. And then even with the kids, there's what is called the Internet Challenge, Dare to Do. It's kind of like 15 minutes of fame, and you do the most bizarre, radical things, and kids have died from that. But that's what they're doing with the kids. They're just radicalizing them. You see, the problems today are a lot greater than probably, at least when I went to school, I know that, maybe if you're older, you went to school, especially with secular and progressive and global New World Order kind of view. That major push is happening with me. It's still out there. Stuff was out there, but it was a little bit hidden. You had to, there was shame when you did it. And so you did it without trying to not let anybody know it. But now, boy, you do it right out there because you can have your 15 minutes of fame. But a major push to ban the Bible, to close churches. Christians, they say, are now extremists. If you see what's happening in communist Canada, these pastors torn out of their house while their little kids are crying their eyes out and put it in the paddy wagon. Pastor taken on the freeway, handcuffed, and all the cars going by. Polish pastor, he knows what tyranny is. Burning of churches. Many churches are going up in flames in Canada. You don't think that's going to come to the United States? I don't know. But that's not 1776, one nation under God. That's not the creation of a new system of government that the founding fathers thought of. One article just recently, it said, time to talk about violent Christian extremism. Really? Where? Violent Christian extremism? And the U.S. Army training entitled Religious Extremism listed Al-Qaeda, Hamas, the Ku Klux Klan, groups that advocate violence to accomplish their objectives, also listed evangelical Christianity and Catholicism. Really, I see what you're doing. You're setting up a straw man. You're setting it up because you want to get rid of a religion in our government, one nation under God, because you're a secular society is what you want to do. That's what's happening. I mean, God's given us the Holy Spirit that we might see the things to come. So it's not hard to see what they're doing and what they're planning. I would just pray that there's some well-thinking people in our government, in the Justice Department, common sense people that have enough courage to stand up against this. I mean, I'm just talking to people that, you know, can kind of agree with me. Maybe some of you don't, but mostly that. But when you go into some of these systems, you're basically the target. If you're a whistleblower, oh, they come after you. So it's a lot easier for me to say what I'm saying than those that are in the secular system to try to stand up for that. But you see, the United States today, the biblical worldview is the minority view. They say they're intellectuals. They've got the intellectual corner on the market because they're secularists, they're humanists, they're intelligent, they're science. They have all these theories, and they are up there. But we, well, we're anti-intellectuals. I guess because we believe the Bible, I guess they're smarter than Jesus. Anybody that's smarter than Jesus, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with. You know, but they say that. They don't say they're smarter than Jesus, but that's really, it put two and two together, you know, if they call Christians anti-intellectual. It's kind of a David and Goliath battle for America. David, that skilled, he was so skilled with the sling and stones. He could hit, the Bible says in Judges 20, verse 16, he can hit a hair at, you know, quite a distance. I mean, he was so accurate with that. Goliath, big, powerful, and intimidating. Well, that's the secular worldview. That's the secular world. They're like Goliath. They've got the money, they've got the government, they've got the media, they've got the big corporations, they've got the influence there. And they're censoring anything that you would say that is contrary to what they say. That's communist China. That's North Korea stuff. Do you see that? I do. I see it. Well, what we see is that biblical worldview is like David going up against Goliath. And the Christians, you and me, we're like David in this battle, you might say. I would say a spiritual battle at this point. I don't think we're going to have the War of Independence again. I don't think so. But I'm talking about a spiritual battle that we're dealing with here. We're like David, you know, with our worldview, and we're skilled in our ability. The scripture, well, that's like David's stones. That's what we use to bring down the giant, the Word of God. And we don't put on Saul's armor, what the world has to offer. Saul's armor is secular and carnal. And yet you have the carnal believers. They're in the church, but they're not really in Christ. They're like Israel soldiers, if you remember. They were reduced in their strength. They were weak, easily intimidated, giving in, shaking in their boots until David came and slew that Goliath. You see, we need to stand up for the integrity of this nation and the Word of God, that others might be strong as well. You might be the one that leads the way in that. You see, but what we find is people are sheep, and they're very impressionable. And either this secular government and world is going to win out, or the Christian faith and the United States of America in its founding is going to win out. We'll see. God's in charge, and that's why we need to pray. You see, the New Testament says that the Old Testament, these things in the Old Testament happen to them as examples written for our instruction, to whom the ends of the ages have come. So I kind of look at the Old Testament and I translate it into what we're going through, and I see how God has a pattern that we can follow. Now not to a T, but there's principles here. And difficult days happened after Solomon's reign, when his kingdom was divided. You have Rehoboam in the south, and you have Jeroboam in the north. There were no good kings in the north, not at all. And there were some good, some bad in the south. Jehoshaphat, I'm going to tell you the story. I'm not going to read the scripture. You have to go to that yourself, because I don't want this to go on until midnight. You know, I want you to get your Coke float, you know, so you can... Unfortunately, it's not a Pepsi float, but still, you can get that. So you can read some of these scriptures on your own if you're a note taker. Now, Jehoshaphat, for the most part, was a good king in the south. And yet he made a bad decision. And One of them was that he married his son Jehoram to Athaliah. Athaliah was a wicked lady. She was the daughter of the worldly and wicked Ahab and Jezebel. You find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. When the evil Jehoram died, his wife, evil Athaliah, she counseled her son Ahaziah during his reign. So that son Ahaziah took Jehoram's place. And so Athaliah is counseling him. But he's a wicked king. He had many sons. And at the time of his death, Grandma Athaliah murdered all her grandsons in order to reign as queen. That's the kind of situation that was going on in the Old Testament. A lot of things, you see. Some of those in power, they're putting out questions. Was this person, did they actually hang themselves? Or did they, you put the names in there, have them offed? And just recently, there was someone that supposedly hanged himself who had an incredible family. But he reported a news story on some of those in politics. I won't go any farther than that. You could read that on your own, and I can tell you afterwards if you want to know. But enough said about that. But you see what's played out here in the Old Testament. Don't think that it could never be played out here in our day and age in the 21st century. Oh, a lot of that stuff is going on and that we don't know about. But what you find at that time, there was murder and mayhem and sexual exploits through false worship of idols, Ashtoreth, Baal, worship in the high places, sexual perversion that was taking place. They were sacrificing babies. We've sacrificed babies, haven't we, to the god of sex? Just have a sexual encounter. It could be casual. It could be constant. If you get pregnant, just have an abortion. That's really sacrificing the babies to the false gods of sex. That's what they did back then in the Old Testament. And that's what's happening in our day and age. What have there been, 62, 63 million abortions since 1972, Roe versus Wade? I don't know if that would ever be overturned. I wish it would be, but we'll see. But these were difficult days that the Bible, we see back then, but difficult days in our day and age. Now, there was this one-year-old son, Joash, during Athaliah's murderous killing fields, killing all those babies, he was overlooked, and he was rescued and hid by Aunt Jehoshabeth. That's the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest. And he was hid for 6 years. Athaliah didn't know he existed. He was raised and he was nurtured by Aunt Jehoshabeth and Uncle Jehoiada. And then finally, after 6 cruel years of Athaliah's reign, when Joash was 7, in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, Jehoiada, the high priest, along with faithful captains of the military, priests and citizens, some of those that really wanted to see the right person on the throne, they deposed and they killed the usurper of David's throne, Athaliah. Because David's throne, the Messiah, was going to come. Now basically, you know, taking a person off the throne through prayer and through voting, you know, that's our method. Quite different back then. Quite different. It was a Wild West kind of society. And so she really personified this Athaliah secular liberal worldview. And now Joash, the rightful heir, was installed, and he was taught a biblical worldview. So now you have a good king, but he's very young on the throne. Joash, 7 years old, though hid, subjected for all that time to murderous, idolatrous, perverse society. What do you think kids today are subjected to? If they don't have any godly supervision, what do you think they're learning? Are you letting the device raise them up? Are you letting the TV raise them up? Are you letting their secular friends raise them up? Are you letting their secular school raise them up? Because they will be influenced. Kids today are subject to a lot. If there's no godly supervision, I didn't have it when I was a kid. You see, I didn't just steal bubble gum. I did a lot worse than that without godly supervision. It's always been there. All the evil and all the stuff in the world that you might have had to subject yourself or were subjected to, it's always been there. I have to say, in my day and age, it was just as bad. But you see, now it's accessible, very accessible, and it's very open, and it's very tolerated, and it's very accepted. Oh, they think it's so cute in the movies to have a 5-year-old actor say the F word or the B word. Oh, isn't that cute, really? You see, they're corrupt and they're corrupting at a rapid rate. Promiscuity on the screen, on the movie screen, on TV, now it's acceptable. It's consumed, not just by adults, but by kids. Rap music has some of the most perverse lyrics imaginable. Those guys turn it up so loud, you know, they come through the neighborhood. You want to throw tomatoes or something at them. You know, the themes that pollute the mind. You've heard it before, sow a thought, reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a character, sow a character, reap a destiny. If it goes on and on and on to those generations down the line, totally different world, secular world, not just secular, but a Marxist world, communist world. They call it socialism. No, it's moving quickly away from that, an oppressive kind of society. Nothing like we have, you know, from 1776 on. Now, what you're finding in that Second Chronicles 23, you can go for it on your own, but I'm just going to give you the verses and story behind it. In verses 1 and 2, Jehoiada, he influences the young mind here of Joash. And like we need to do today, we need to influence the young minds. However we can, whether it's through the radio, whether it's through media, whether it's through TV, good TV, things about the Lord, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in the home. You see, he knew God. Joash did. He knew God because he was taught by Jehoiada. Bible says you must be born again in our what Jesus says to us. You see, there's a safe environment that we have. That's important. And what you're finding is in that safe environment, there was a standing against evil, standing against the ungodly influence, the secular kind of worldview back then, but there needs to be that today with our kids and growing up. There was a mentoring that was taking place with Jehoiada to this young boy who is now king. He was taught and seeking to disciple him, really train him up in the things of the Lord. And much good came as Jehoiada taught Joash. You see that. And then in verse 4 here, again in Chronicles, they restored the house of the Lord. Verse 5, enlisted the priest and the Levites to collect funds to repair the house. And then you find, but, verse 6, they'd not go far enough, not follow through, didn't really repair the house. And so in the 23rd year of Joash, 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 6, Joash, he's reigned, now he's 30 years old, and he looks to Jehoiada to get things moving. And then in verse 14, Jehoiada, the leader, in preparing utensils and pans for burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. And then he died at age 130. He was buried in the city of David among the kings because he had done well in Israel to God in his house. It's almost as like Joash was pampered. He wasn't given the opportunity to fail. He wasn't given the opportunity to see the real world and experience standing up against the real world, because it seems like Jehoiada did everything for him. And then in verse 17 and 18, but when he died, Jehoiada died, Joash abandoned the instruction and he caves in to his peers. Peer pressure, what our kids have to deal with. You see, that's the problem with an insulated, protected life. If you do for that child, or if you do for that adult, and you don't let them do for themselves and even fail, risk failure, you're protecting them, you're insulating them. You never allow them to fail, they'll never learn to stand for themselves. They'll never learn to stand against the tide. My grandsons, we go out body surfing, and Bud, who's now 14, he would go out when he was really young. I don't know how young, but he was not even a teenager. And we would go out in some surf where he'd get really wide-eyed. And I said, Bud, every wave is an education. Every wave is an education. You're going to get tossed. You're going to get held under. It's an education. You learn from it. And he did. Now surfing, he's just a go-for-it guy. And you see, that's the way it is with growing up, you know, in a society that's moving away from the basic principles, the foundations that made this society. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Right now, we're seeing those foundations be destroyed. But I would say, if you never allow someone to fail, they're never going to learn. It's been said, give a pig and a boy everything they want, you'll have a wonderful pig and a terrible boy. So don't pamper people, kids or adults. You see, the fear of failure in a child produces the tendency to accommodate. That's what we have. We call them snowflakes. It's like, oh, don't trouble me with any problems. I got to go to my safe room. Oh, so bad, because they accommodate anything and whatever comes along. And often it's bad behavior. It's bad kind of thinking. We see that happening in our society. You know, they say in a storm, when you have a hurricane, when the wind just maybe devastates and blows down trees, and yet there's one tree standing. Why is that standing and the one next to it is gone? Well, the one standing, because it's been buffeted by the winds, maybe for a while, every time it's buffeted, the roots go deeper and they go farther. And so now that tree is strengthened against some of those most violent gales, and so it stands. And so it is with our society and a young person, an older person. They've been buffeted. They're like that tree that's able to stand against the storm. You see, you teach, you train. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So that's the goal. You see, if a person is never tested, they can never be trusted. If they've just been isolated and pampered, there's going to be a failure, but hopefully not on your watch. The pulpit commentary says about this, most prominent trait in the character of Joash was his lack of independence and his moral weakness. He had no strength of will, no stamina, no backbone. He must learn on someone else. He must lean on someone else. You see, it's too late for that. I think a lot of people were leaning on Trump because he was a great president. He was a great president, doing a lot of conservative things. I like the man. I mean, some are saying he was as great as Abraham Lincoln, or at least as Ronald Reagan. You know, he was, because he was a businessman. He wasn't a politician. He didn't get rich in politics. Look at all these politicians that became millionaires. And before, they just lived from hand to mouth. Now they're millionaires because they're politicians. What about that? So I respect a man who doesn't even take the president's salary, but works for the people. I can respect a man like that. I know he's crass. I know he says things that maybe, you know, ruffle people's feathers. But look a little deeper. Don't look at the surface. Too many people look at the surface of stuff. Look deeper than that. You see, apparently, Joash, his weakness is known. And he gives in to his peers. They know that he's a weak man. People can read you. They know if you're just playing church, or if you're really part of the church. They just know if you're playing religion, Christianity, or if you're really a Christian, and you stand up for what the Bible says and what God says. You see, they flattered him, and flattery is spreading a net for a person's feet. You know, they want to capture, and they did. And they put him under their influence. You see, that's what the world, the government, the system, the world system, secular system wants to do. They want to take us away from one nation under God, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, 1776, and they want to put us under their mesmerizing kind of political agenda. You see, Joash was more than 30 years old, 30 plus, maybe 40 years old. He should have been settled in his faith. If you've been a Christian for a number of years, you should be settled in your faith, not wavering any longer. You're dead on. You're straight on. You're not thinking about, well, maybe I'll backslide next week. You know, maybe I'll flirt with the world a little bit. You can't. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. Because let me say this, unless you repent, you're going to go the way of the world. No compromise. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. You can't be in between. Especially with Joash at age probably 40 years old, and he wasn't set in his faith, and he was influenced by these young bucks that he grew up with, and they influenced him away from the Lord. Abraham Lincoln, when he was president, was advised to include a certain man in his cabinet. When he refused, he was asked why he would not accept him. "I don't like his face," the president replied. "But the poor man isn't responsible for his face," his sponsor said. "Every man over 40 is responsible for his face," Lincoln countered. We're responsible not only for our face, but for the direction of our life. Train up that child. Train up that person that comes into the fellowship and at a younger age, other teenagers, at 20s, 30s, 40s, 70s. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. And when they're older, they shall not depart from them. The training is the initiate, dedicate, hands-on community action. That's what we're doing now with this teaching. That's what we always do with the teaching. And it's head and it's heart kind of work. Head and heart work. I guess the Freedom Coalition was in cars around the island, and they had their flags and stuff and celebrating 4th of July, Independence Day. You know, honking horns, and apparently on the news, they said these protesters, it's going to be hard to drive because these protesters are blocking the roads and driving around. I think, you are so secular, you radio TV stations. These are those celebrating the 4th of July. Why can't you say that? These are patriots. Patriots. Is that word lost its meaning? You see, the battle is happening before us. Do we want to go back to King George of England? Or King Joe and Queen Kamala, United States, and what they want to do? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, finally, kind of ending off here in verses 19 to 22. Joash, he's spoiled. He's not accustomed to opposition. And Zechariah, the prophet, he opposes the evil that he's doing. And so Zechariah, a prophet, Jehoiada's son, Joash, murders Zechariah. And that's Jehoiada's son. He murders him. He murders him, and yet he was his playmate growing up. Joash does. Murdering Zechariah, his playmate, former playmate growing up. Jehoiada, his instructor's son that he played with. All the things he learned from Jehoiada. You're murdering this man? You see how evil the heart can be if it's not centered on the Lord? It doesn't matter if we started out as one nation under God. It matters right now what the people think about God. And if they don't want to think about God, if they don't want to think about Jesus Christ, we've got a big problem. Then we've got to preach more and preach harder and let the Word of God be known. And I thank God for our 24/7 radio stations, AM and FM, K-Lite Radio. I praise the Lord. Yeah. People can't get away from the Word of God if they're just kind of channel surfing and they're going to hit our station. And we found a lot of people, they channel surf, they listen, and they get saved. Now, what you find in verse 25, and we end off here, Joash, the end of his life, his own servants assassinate him. And they do so because of the blood of Zechariah. You see, it's a sad ending, but it had a good beginning. But we run the race with endurance that we might finish. And when we finish, we might have an abundant entry. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, that's what we want to hear. And so it's not just maybe seeing this country saved from what we're finding as people are moving it away from God in this secular society, this secular socialist, communist, Marxist, totalitarian government that seems to be, you know, rising up. But we want to finish the race well, and determined to be teaching and training those who will listen and pass the baton to them if God gives us many more years. And as we are Christian citizens and followers of Jesus Christ, to stand in the gap and let the truth be known, what the truth is, pray and preach the gospel to all those that will listen to us. That's our mission. And pray that God just center us to be available and effective in this day and age. Because things are changing every day. Some of these things that they're putting on our kids, pretty bad. Our grandkids too, pretty bad. Amen. Critical race theory, I was going to read it to you, but it's too late and you can get it. Imprimis, great. This fella has written a good article on it. But it's basically those that want to share the racism in your heart, make you feel as bad as they do, make you feel like a racist too. So that critical race theory, that's part of the whole secular Marxist agenda. They want to set race against race, just like the Marxists set, those who were part of capitalism and those who were the workers, they set them against one another. And so there was a revolution there. They wanted to take away capitalism and distribute everything to the common people. They killed 100 million people because of that. Just all the horrible things. But you can read that up on your own. Let's stand, let's pray, and is Anthony already out there? He's already out there, okay. Where your heart is, Your stomach is also, no, your spirit is also. Yeah, there you are. That's okay. just joking. But anyway, that's going to be pretty cool. They must have got a lot of ice cream if they're going to make you some floats. I mean, not just Coke floats, but they have different flavors and stuff there as well. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for our government. I pray that you put the fear of God upon our government officials here in Hawaii and upon our national officials. Lord, it's really, you're the savior, not only of governments, but you're savior of our soul for all eternal life. Lord, this life is just a breath. It's just a fading flower. It's grass that springs up and dies out. We see that with the summer heat, Lord. And I pray that you would wake people up to the fact that there is an eternity. There is a God. And he's hearing, he's watching, and he's waiting for people to do the right thing, especially in government. And government is really given by the people and of the people, for the people, by the people. Not to rule over, but to facilitate good government. And so I do pray, Lord, that you would just touch hearts. And Lord, make us effective for your gospel. I pray that if we're around for another 4th of July, you would have done great things. Lord, but if the rapture comes, that's even better. So we commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.